Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin here. As on every Sunday morning, we're with you with a gorgeous source for us to talk about and to be in conversation with one another and see what arises. It's a great joy, as always, to be here and to land in this space and to wander into it together. So Justin, thank you for your being here, for my being here, and for bringing this loveliness of Parker Palmer, who, by the way, I am in love with and I've never met him. And I sometimes watch him on YouTube just to hear his voice because I love him so much. It's like doesn't really matter what he's saying. I just like to be in his presence. He's amazing. So I would encourage everyone to Google him and seek him out and find a YouTube video and just be in his presence. He's such a lovely man. So I'm really glad that we're talking about something he's written today. And I'm really glad to be in this with you.
Thanks, Lizzie. And good morning, everyone. And welcome to all of us. I'm feeling very much affected by the conversation we had last week, Lizzie, about how we humans each bring one another forward. Like our own selves are really gifts that we got from one another, not just from ourselves. So I'm feeling very, very blessed to be in your presence. And now you've mentioned it in Parker's presence. And this piece of writing by him, this source, has been with me for a long time. And I'm also bringing it because of you, Lizzie, because you talk so often about faithfulness. And I thought this was a great meeting of Parker's words and your words. And I also agree everyone should go and listen to Parker speak, because we will read his words in our own voice. But it's nothing, frankly, like hearing him speak his own work. It's quite something. So as always, for all of you who are with us, if you're live, you'll see with us in our Facebook group, you'll see the source already in our Facebook group, which everyone is welcome to join. So you can search for Turning Towards Life on Facebook. But you can also find us later. You may already be here, of course, on our podcast, which is pretty much everywhere you can get a podcast, and on YouTube, and on our beautiful new website, turningtowards.life. That's turningtowards.life, where you can find every conversation we've had, the video archive, and all the sources as well. So maybe you're with us there right now as you're listening, maybe sometime into the future from when we're recording this. And this piece is called Standing and Acting in the Tragic Gap. By the tragic gap, Parker Palmer writes, I mean the gap between the hard realities around us and what we know is possible, not because we wish it were so, but because we've seen it with our own eyes. If we are to stand and act with hope in the tragic gap and do it for the long haul, we cannot settle for mere effectiveness as the ultimate measure of our failure or success. Yes, we want to be effective in pursuit of important goals, but when measurable short-term outcomes become the only or primary standard for assessing our efforts, the upshot is as pathetic as it is predictable. We take on smaller and smaller tasks, the only kind that yield instantly visible results, and abandon the large, impossible, but vital jobs we're here to do. We must judge ourselves by a higher standard than effectiveness, the standard called faithfulness. Are we faithful to the community on which we depend, to doing what we can in response to its pressing needs? Are we faithful to the better angels of our nature and to what they call forth from us? Are we faithful to the eternal conversation of the human race, to speaking and listening in a way that takes us closer to truth? Are we faithful to the call of courage that summons us to witness to the common good, even against great odds? When faithfulness is our standard, we are more likely to sustain our engagement with tasks that will never end, doing justice, loving mercy, and calling the beloved community into being.
By the tragic gap, I mean the gap between the hard realities around us and what we know is possible. Not because we wish it were so, but because we've seen it with our own eyes. If we are to stand and act with hope in the tragic gap and do it for the long haul, we cannot settle for mere effectiveness as the ultimate measure of our failure or success. Yes, we want to be effective in pursuit of important goals, but when measurable short-term outcomes become the only or primary standard for assessing our efforts, the upshot is as pathetic as it is predictable. We take on smaller and smaller tasks, the only kind that yield instantly visible results, and abandon the large, impossible, but vital jobs we are here to do. We must judge ourselves by a higher standard than effectiveness, the standard called faithfulness. Are we faithful to the community on which we depend, to doing what we can in response to its pressing needs? Are we faithful to the better angels of our nature and to what they call forth from us? Are we faithful to the eternal conversation of the human race, to speaking and listening in a way that takes us closer to truth? Are we faithful to the call of courage that summons us to witness to the common good, even against great odds? When faithfulness is our standard, we are more likely to sustain our engagement with tasks that will never end, doing justice, loving mercy, and calling the beloved community into being.
I'm so enjoying, Lizzie, the fierceness in your voice and in Parker's writing as he read that. And it feels really important to me that we have voices around, both within us and outside us, that can say no to something that seems obvious and common sense in order to say yes to something that's bigger. And actually, it was when you read the word pathetic, I thought I could really feel that land in me. Yes, it really helps to acknowledge what's pathetic in our ordinary, taken for granted way of doing things, not for the sake of simply bashing ourselves or anything like that, but so that it can be an opening to a bigger kind of commitment. And that's the thing that I love in this piece of Parker's writing, that he gets that any of us might be really committed to something, but the question is, are we committed to something big enough to meet the world and also to meet the capacity and longing and big hearts that we have? And I think often for many of us, we're not actually. I've been, I hadn't thought about this before we got speaking to one another, but I've been talking with someone I've been walking with recently about busyness and about how we've been exploring together how busyness can be a way of our not feeling something bigger, more powerful, more life-giving and more frightening. And to me, that's the thing that Parker's most into. I think a lot of us in the culture in which we're in get really good at being busy. So we feel like we're active, we feel like we're doing lots of things, and we're also not so secretly, well, I'm just speaking about myself right here, not so secretly frightened that if I'm not active all the time and I can feel like I'm doing something all the time and I can see the results and I can prove them to other people, if I'm not doing that, then I'm stepping off into this vast open space that we call the unknown, and that's quite frightening to do. So rather than step into the vast unknown, it's kind of back to front way of doing this, but I'll soothe myself by keeping on feeling anxious about all the things I have on my list and all the emails that have come in and all the, and I've really been noticing, it's really in myself and also by talking to other people, it's actually quite possible just that for that to be our lives, you know, for my life to be, did I clear my email inbox? Did I hit some target that either I invented for myself or in some settings because somebody made for me because they were feeling the same kind of anxiety? And we live in these, particularly if we work in an organization or something or anywhere where we have responsibilities to other people, we so easily live in this cascade of anxiety covered up by activity. Mm-hmm. And then Parker comes along and says, something else is called for, because the things that really, really matter to us, none of them are going to be addressed by this. None of them are going to be addressed by the sort of also the banality of being busy clicking on links and social media feeds and all of those kind of things by which we keep ourselves busy. There's much bigger stuff to do. So I love this word faithfulness, because in order to be faithful to something, it takes us setting aside our ordinary everyday reactivity and pointing ourselves in the direction of something that matters to us, even if we can't get any feel right in the moment of making any difference to it. When I heard you read Parker's words and you got to the bit on faithfulness, I can just feel my heart open with joy and courage. So I suppose in a way, the way I'm landing in this first sort of feeling into it is just how important having appropriate language for what we're doing is. Mm. Like, that language makes a huge difference. Suddenly everything is cast in a new light when I come at it that way.
Yeah. Oh, this is such a, I feel so met by this. As you say, like, when there's language that kind of validates a sense of things, and I certainly have this kind of perpetual frustration at the kind of short-term goal targets thing. And this language really helps me to articulate myself around it, which I'm really grateful for. Because in my experience, if we take up the faithfulness to the community on which we depend, for example, those things happen because we're oriented in the right way. Like, we don't have to patheticize ourselves by kind of saying you have to do this by this date and that by that date, because when you're dedicated to something deeper, all the things that need to happen in order for that to happen will happen in the right order and the right time because of your dedication. So I really feel that so strongly, that to be asking bigger questions about what we're faithful to actually takes care of the minutiae, because of the kind of beings that we are, which is, if I'm deeply dedicated to that, everything will happen that is beneath that order, if you know what I mean. So if I aim myself at an order of purpose, if you like, that is at a certain depth, anything above that certain depth, like a goal or a target, it takes care of itself. And so I feel really glad of this language and pointing us into, what if the questions were much, much bigger than did you do that by that date? And how much more interesting life would be, and actually how much more of a true response would you get from people if you put this kind of question into everyone's lives, into my life? Certainly if you put this question into my life, my performance, as it were, you know, what I would deliver, because it's coming from my heart, would be so much more significant than me just being able to play the system of, oh yeah, I'll just meet that because he said he wanted it. You know, there's an invitation that we make from asking into our faithfulness that just inherently, because of the kind of beings that we are, takes care of itself. And so I just feel really met by the way Parker Palmer sees this. And I'm so glad that there are humans in our world who are thinking beyond the kind of the level at which we find ourselves in society and normal culture and normal corporate life and normal business, because it's really important. Because when you're in an organization and all of that feels odd to you and you don't think it's right, but you can't quite articulate why, and then you hear this from Parker Palmer and you go, oh, hold on a second, that's why it feels weird, because I'm better than this. Like, I'm bigger than this. I'm more dedicated than this is making me be. That's when I get kind of excited and think, oh gosh, there's language for the beyond, there's language for the countercultural, there's language and hope beyond the small narratives we find ourselves in broader life. And this is such a good example of that for me, being faithful to the call of courage that summons us to witness the common good. You know, that's an interesting invitation. Like, that's like, what is that? What does that mean? And there's an awakening in my heart that happens when I feel that and I'm invited into that, where I feel like I would do anything in service of that. And I would do it in the time that needed it doing, because of what the world is and what we need and what needs to happen, and because of my awakeness to the purpose of it, to the meaning of it, then all kinds of things feel possible. And so when he says at the beginning that there's this tragic gap between the hard realities around us and what we know is possible, and that's the space that we are invited to live in, it's such a different thing than just saying, no, you have to live in the hard realities. This is what the hard realities of life are, that you have to do this and you have to do that. And it doesn't feel liberating. It doesn't feel interesting. It doesn't feel edgy and groundbreaking, or like something alive is happening. It feels kind of imprisoning and constraining and boring and not much life in it. So then when we get invited into the possible, because we all have seen it, it's true. We all get glimpses outside of the normal cultural standards of effectiveness. We know that's not where it ends. We all know it. And yet it's so prevalent and so hypnotizing. And so we base so much of our value on it, mistakenly, that then the possible gets undervalued. And it's that horrible cycle that we really have to step out of. And we have to rely on people like Parker Palmer saying, this isn't everything. There's more, there's deeper, there's wider, there's more alive. It's here, and it's trusting that is there and stepping in, which makes things have life breathed back into them. I'm feeling really glad of this.
You're speaking so powerfully about this, Lizzie, and one point where I could feel really like something shifted in me from your speaking was where you talked about the kind of beings that we are. Because it struck me at that point how easily we turn ourselves into machines. But that's not what we are. We're not machines for the delivering of targets. But, I mean, we can live that way, because that's also part of the nature of the kind of beings that we are, is we can be lots and lots of different ways. But it's so easy for all of us to get, like you said, sucked into the narrative that we are essentially delivery machines for targets, and that's the biggest that life gets.
Yeah.
And I was really moved when you said about yourself, and I know this is true of me, and I suspect it's true of everyone in one way or another, that we can feel when that's too small for us. Mm. But many times we haven't had the opportunity to be in a conversation that honors the bigness of us. I was thinking about schooling whilst you were talking about it, about how very often the biggest question we're taught at school, you know, if we're even lucky enough to be in a situation where anyone will really help us with being effective, which is an important thing to learn, the biggest question we often get is, will I get my grades?
Mm.
What kind of job do I want to do? Yeah. That's as far as it goes. And it kind of comes into this effectiveness end of things. And what Parker is asking us to do is then ask a bigger question. Like, imagine if we all really got help in considering the question, what gap do we want to help bridge in the world? Like, what do we want our lives to? What problems or difficulties in the world do we want to dedicate ourselves to resolving or alleviating or lessening?
Mm.
Imagine if that was the question, and if when we asked one another, what are you up to at whatever age, we could say, right now, this is what I'm faithful to.
Yeah.
And how that liberates our good hearts and our courage and our ability to take action, like across this gap that's always too big to bridge. The gap is always too big to bridge.
Yeah.
And it struck me whilst you were talking about it that it's if it's really obviously true in the world of work that we've, that large parts of the world of work have organized together to and we've participated in it, many of us, is to keep the machine narrative going. My job, my identity is simply to get the next thing done and the next thing done.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I was thinking about parenting whilst you were speaking, like the difference between when I react in the moment to try and make some difficulty go away so that I can feel better or I'm less troubled by something, you know, that the young people I'm taking care of are in, as opposed to having a bigger question of what kind of world, what kind of way of living into the world am I trying to help here, which is a way bigger question. Anyway, that has me circle back to the thing I really wanted to say about what you said, was to keep on remembering that it's in the nature of being a human that we point ourselves towards questions and possibilities, and the ones that we point ourselves towards shape the relationships we'll be in, what we consider possible for ourselves, how we make sense of everything. That is what it is to be a human. It's really distinctive that we can ask bigger questions, we can make promises to ourselves and to others and to our lives that are bigger than the ones that we're in, and then we can live in the light of those promises, and it shifts our identity when we do that. And I so want myself and us and all of us, I want to keep on remembering that, the power of a promise, the power of a declaration of intent, the power of faithfulness to radically shift what we make of ourselves and how we judge everything that we're up to.
Gosh, so interesting. Just as you were speaking, lots of imaginings were happening in me, and the one that just happened there was I was feeling into the story of like what it is to be a mole and to be going along and only doing what's right in front of me, scraping the soil that's right at my face. And that's all there is to do, is just keep scraping the soil, keep scraping the soil. And maybe there's a promise of popping up somewhere and getting some light at some point. But really all there is to do is to keep scraping and scraping and scraping. And it's right here in front of me, versus being the kind of being that stands and wonders in the light about what the horizons really are. You know, this question of possibility that Parker Palmer's bringing us, and how to create that kind of spaciousness that you were just talking about, where we're aimed at something, pointed at something big, something that's not possible, and yet it is. You know, my husband always says to me that he is moved by that saying of, they didn't know it was impossible, so they did it. And it always kind of scrambles me. And it's true. It's like, I've done loads of things, and when I look back, I think that was impossible, but I did it. But because I didn't know it was impossible, I did it. And this sense of possibility is so powerful, because somehow it opens up the space for us to actually dance across the width of the worlds that we make, rather than just in the directionality of a small hope. You know, it's like somehow our world and the way that the world is at the moment aims us at really small possibilities by its nature, by the way that marketing speaks to us, the way that culture and institutions and businesses have us do things, that the way that things are done, inherent in that, confirms to us what's possible. So when I get given a target, for example, inherent in that, implicit in that, is that that's what's possible for me. And so it feels like it's telling me, by being what it is, what's possible for me. And I then believe it. And so the invitation, but there's part of me that also goes, that can't be all there is, meeting a target. I mean, you know, that secret voice that goes, really? Is that really what's worth something in the world? And then this writing comes along to show us that feeling that we go, I'm bigger than that, surely. I'm bigger than a measure. I'm bigger than a, I've got more meaning than a metric. And I'm not a resource. I'm a person. You know, all of those wanderings where we have to fit ourselves into things, you know, in the fitting in, the not fitting in also arises, where you think, really, is this really what I am and what I'm here for? And then this comes along and go, oh my gosh, yes, there's something impossible and vital that might also be what's mine to do here. And then I get pointed at, as you were saying, I get pointed at something wholly different. And by the way, that's given how uncommon it is to feel like that's met in us, it's also really disorienting. You know, like you said about busyness at the start of this, to do something that's not in the narrative that we're constantly being invited into again and again, it's really scary. So of course the safe place is to come back where I get validation and I get what I, you know, people approving of me, affirming me. If I'm living in the gap, that cultural affirmation doesn't happen. So we have to find alliances and friendships and communities that hold us in the space we want to be held in, rather than the smaller place that we've outgrown or we're struggling with or we're itching in. And to grow into that place with support and with each other feels like a life is getting made. You know, you were saying you could just be busy, and then the way I interpret it was you could just be busy, 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 then die. And then what did your life add up to? And this is a far riskier, far grander kind of unknowableness that, although it feels hairy and scary when we step out from the cultural norm into something different, you also kind of know it's worth it. You know, you know that the what's going to be made from it is much more life-giving than what gets made from just doing what you're told and doing it well, and then that's it.
So this point you make about having alliances, having peers, having community, that feels so important to me and alive to me, because the way you said it, Lizzie, was very powerful to me. And then I had something to add. You said, you know, we don't get affirmation for this, for having a bigger question. I actually think very often what we get is disapproval. So I know there have been times in my life, I feel very awake to this question now, and I feel very settled in largely living a life that feels to me is pointed towards things that I feel really, really matter and having some faithful to it. And along the way, lots of places where I've made choices, I've had people in my life who sort of go, what? You mean you, I don't know what, turned down that bit of work, didn't hit the target, changed course, set your sights on something that was not, didn't fit into the stories and standards of immediate security and safety that we have in our culture? You mean you're not busy all the time? In fact, quite interestingly, I've noticed this recently that I take care of my time as best I can, so I've got space for things that really matter. But very often people say to me, I know how busy you are. And actually, it's not true. I'm not. But I can feel the pull in that, because whenever I hear that, I go, shouldn't I be really busy? And I don't mean active. I mean, like, shouldn't I be feeling... And it's not ever ill-intentioned, I don't think. I think it's really well-intentioned. It's just it comes... It's because we swim in this soup. And the only way that I can stay alive to the bigger question I know is to be in conversations like this, is to be here with you and with other people who matter and with other people who want to look at what's on the other side of the tragic gap and to be faithful and to call one another on. That really helps to have conversations around us that do that. And it's one of the reasons I'm very grateful for Parker, for his speaking and his writing, because he keeps on teaching us this. And every time I come across Parker's work, I feel like I get reawakened again. It's like, oh yeah, there is actually a part of me that forgot this, because it's so hard to remember if we don't have people, community, language, practices to hold us true. or to bring us back.
Mm. It's very lovely hearing you say all of that, Justin. And I feel so many times in these conversations that we have that my body also goes, there's like a relief in the conversation, a relief in the story that's being told that's different to the soup, as you were calling it, the story of the soup we're in. So I too appreciate Parker Palmer, and again invite anyone listening to go and find him, find his justice, find his loving mercy, and find his way of calling the beloved community into being, because he's really done that for Yonks and is doing that all the time, and I love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, everyone, for being with us on this, for this half an hour of our conversation together, and we get to end here. It's time, but we'll be back next week and in all of the usual places. I'll be so glad to see you then.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.